And as you think about that, that's because of Christ Jesus that we're able to recognize those blessings. See, the world might recognize, oh, that they're blessed, but not really, really acknowledging where those blessings came from. But we as the people of God, we that are in Christ Jesus, we realize where the blessings come from, even in the physical. But the most glorious blessings that we possess as children of God are those which are in Christ Jesus, those which are spiritual. And praise His name for it and thank Him for it. I'm trying to see. Everybody awake? Everybody look bright-eyed and bushy-tailed back there? All right. We'll let you go. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. In chapter 4. And because we record these messages, and then we upload them to sermon audio, I was amazed that we're in verse 6 of chapter 4, and this will be our 21st, 22nd message, 23rd message, something like that, from this chapter thus far. Praise God. Been rich. This study in the book of Ephesians has been rich. And continues to be, even as we have gotten into the more practical side of it. When I say we've gotten more into the more practical side of it, how many don't know what I'm talking about? See, the practical side, the practical application is that which we live out in our daily lives. You see, in the first three chapters were those blessings which are in Christ Jesus. Those blessings because, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. But now, chapters 4, 5, and 6, he begins to deal with more of a practical aspect to the Ephesian church and to us. So we've been looking at verse 6 of chapter 4, and it gives yet another reason why we ought to be laboring diligently, making haste to labor for the unity of the body. Each member being in unity, one with another. And the body functioning and working together as a, what we would say in the physical terms, a well-oiled machine. Don't you just love it when motors run great, brother? Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ just loves it when Grace Baptist Church is running greatly, as it ought to be. And that's what we're dealing with in this fourth chapter. And so I said, one God and Father of all. We looked at Father of all last week. Not all mankind, and as we said last week, yes, there is a sense in which He is the Father of all mankind. But that's not what He's talking here, keeping in context. Context. He's talking to a group of saved believers, or more specifically, to the Ephesian church. So He's talking to believers. He's talking about our Father, which are in heaven. So He's one God and Father. Goes on to say, who's above all and through all, and in you all. Don't know how far we'll get today. But we want to look at that thought above all. What does that mean? Well, we would acknowledge him to be above all, would we not? He's not only higher, he's greater than all. We acknowledge those things. We acknowledge that. But again, I got to question myself and question you. Do we live our life as though he is above all? As though he is greater than all? There again, it kind of refers back to what we were talking about this morning in the pattern prayer there in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 9 through 15. We're his subjects. A subject is to be in submission to the one who is over him. You see, we're his subjects. And we're to be in submission. But can I always say that I am? Well, I'd be lying to try to say I was. And you would too. You see. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 21. I've got to read verse 20 with this. When he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, and that is going to come back to have implications on the next verse in our text, verse 7. Which we'll deal with at some later time. Far above all principality and power. Far above. Listen. He's far above Satan and all the fallen angels that are at work in the our sphere today. And they're at work. They don't like us loving the Word of God. So he's at work to tear down and to destroy the Word of God. That's why it's important for the Word of God to live in our hearts. I don't know whether the Father will allow Satan to be successful to destroy the written pages that we have. But you see, he can't take away that which is in the heart. That which is in the heart. He can't take away from Brother France. As Brother France said this morning, John 8:29. See, my mind was faulty already thinking, well, I think it's verse 22. He corrected me. Far above all principality and power. Listen, if he's far above Satan and all the angels, fallen angels that are at Satan's disposal and usage, and he's far above at all. He's far above all his created creation, which takes in the heavens, the created heavens, the expanses that we stand and gaze up into and just admire his handiwork. He's far above that. far above that. But yet, He resides in my heart. Oh, that's getting on into to later studies. Through you all. And in you all. You see? Turn with me to Genesis. The book of Genesis, in chapter 14. Verse 19 of the 14th chapter. And this is, of course, after the overthrow of those five kings who had come and taken Sodom, Gomorrah, and Lot. And Abram had sent out, had gone with, I think it was 300 of his, those born in his own house, and delivered Lot and Sodom, Gomorrah. And Melchizedek comes unto him. In verse 19 he said, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. Most High God. Possessor of heaven and earth. That is, there is none that is higher than God. He is far above all principalities of mind. So he's above all. This verse alludes to His creation. Creator of heaven and earth. He's most high. He's even higher than that. Of course, we know history. I'm getting a little foggy on it. One of the first astronauts to the moon, or I think it was to the moon, had looked back and upon Earth, and had taken those pictures and translated them down, and I think he cited from Genesis chapter 1. And then I think at a later time there was another astronaut up there said, here I am. I don't see God. Where's He at? You ain't gone high enough yet. You ain't gone lofty enough. He's far above all. You see. Praise God. You see, sometimes, and I said, I'm going to say sometimes, but actually the fact is, the matter is, most of the time, even you and I have too puny a God. Our thoughts of God are not high enough. Many times. If it did, if they weren't, would we not do greater things for Him, greater things in His service for Him? Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 10. And just so you get the gist of this, I wasn't going to do it. I only wrote down one verse, but it's only 10 verses to read. Maybe we ought to read from verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, For the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and gold, with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not they, must needs be born. But speak not, they must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great. Think about that. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all the kings' kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Euphaz, the work of the workmen, and of the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the works of cunning men. But the Lord, consider that. But the Lord, Jehovah, is true, is the true God. See, this morning we were talking about in the Sunday school the holy gods. What the Egyptians were reverencing there by the holy gods was their gods. Well, the spirit of wisdom that dwelt in Joseph was not the spirit of their gods, but it was the spirit of the Lord, Jehovah, the true God, that dwelt in him. He is the living God. You see, these others that he talked about in verses 1 through 9, they weren't living. The stock is a piece of wood. And they take that piece of wood and they make their gods out of. And they make it out of silver and gold. And deck it. But Jehovah, he's the true God. He's the living God. An everlasting king. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Oh, he's above all. He's mightier than all. He's greater than all. And therefore, they will not be able to abide his wrath, to abide his indignation. The earth will tremble at his wrath. Turn with me to the book of John. John in chapter 3. In verse 31. Well, actually, we need to back up. John speaking in verse 28, John the Baptist, that is, you yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friends of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him, rejoice greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." He said, I heard the voice of the bridegroom, and my joy is therefore fulfilled. My work is fulfilled. He must increase. The bridegroom, Jesus Christ, must increase. But I must decrease. Listen, that's a great point that you and I need to take to heart, even as saved individuals. We must decrease. He must increase. Quit thinking of a puny God. Think of Him in all His glory, in all His greatness, in all His majesty, in all His power and might. You see? Verse 31. He that cometh from above is above all. Who came from above? What does that mean? It came from above. Doesn't that just insinuate we'll be getting into this in the later verse, in the next verse or two? Doesn't that insinuate that He must have came down from above? He must have descended? Yes. He that cometh from above, Christ Jesus, is above it all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. He's above all. That's what Paul is alluding to here to the Ephesian church. One God and Father of all who is above all. And I suppose the skeptic would say, well, that says God. You were just reading about Jesus Christ. Is not Jesus Christ God? You see, we must know the Word of God. We must have it in our hearts. Should we not? Romans, in that blessed chapter, actually all the chapters of the Word of God are blessed, are they not? Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 9, and we're going to be looking at thoughts before we get into our pet verses of that ninth chapter. He starts off by saying, I say the truth in Christ. How lie I not? My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all. God bless forever. Amen. God bless forever. Amen. Christ is over all. Praise God. Amen. He's over all. That means me. That means you. How high are our thoughts of Him? How often do we think of Him? Let's get more serious. Today's the Lord's Day. Did we really give thought to that? Did we really give thought to that when we entered the gates of the house of the Lord? That it wasn't about me, that it wasn't about you, that it wasn't even about our Thanksgiving dinner, which is a great blessing of the Lord to His people. But there are many who are not His people that are going to sit down to a Thanksgiving fest like the one we have back here. Do we give it a thought that today is about the Lord Jesus Christ? About exalting Him? Lifting Him up on high? The songs that we sang was about Him. The song that my wife and I sang this morning, "Oh, to be like Thee." Is that really the desire in my heart? To be like Him? Oh, it's thoughts that I can't attain unto. They're glorious. Like to attain unto it, have to say like Paul, I'm pressing on. Not as though I've already attained, but I'm pressing on for the prize and the high calling of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, specifically words given to His church. Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Did you stop and think about that? If all authority is His, doesn't that mean He's higher than all? Doesn't that mean that He's above all? Doesn't that mean that He's over all? He has all authority. It's His. He has the right to tell me what to do. He has the right to tell you what to do. And the two will be contrary to the other. If He's telling you something that's right, and He's telling me something different that's right, one of us is wrong. You see? We better find out which one it is. He has all authority. And so we know that because He had all authority, He had the right to tell His church to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to baptize those who were saved, and to teach them the all things. And that's the way the church propagates itself. Fills up the kingdom. Fills up the church of God. You see. One last on that thought. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 22, speaking concerning Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. all the angels, all powers, everything are put under His subjection. He has all authority. Praise God. The one God. And Father of all. And who is above all? See the necessity for unity? Just given to us another reason why we ought to be laboring, hastily laboring for unity. And as we've talked in the past, I don't know what the condition of the Ephesian church was then. I only know what it had become in Revelation chapter 3, or chapter 2. We enjoy, I think, unless I'm deceived, good unity here. A love that is manifested for one another is great. As we referenced back in our fellowship dinner, you don't find this in what we have in many churches. But as we've said before, don't think that it'll always be here. In other words, don't take it for granted. We have to not let our guards down. We have to always be on the work, on the labor. Labor is intensive. It has to be constant. Or next month, it'll be gone. Next year, it'll be gone. 2 years from now, it'll be gone. And that's not pleasing to the Lord. You see, we have to labor and to keep that which we enjoy. And if possible, even make it greater. You see. The necessity for unity is above all. It's shining in all His glory. It's sending down on His children. And in keeping with our context, especially His church. Especially His church. Every good and perfect gift is from above. James, the book of James in chapter 1, in verse 17, this will be the last verse that we'll look at today, unless the Lord puts another one in my mind. James chapter 1. In verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What does that tell me? What does that tell you? Listen. That tells me, and it should tell you, that when we walk in lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, working hard to keep the unity, These are all good and perfect gifts, and they come down from the Father, and it's not in me, and it's not in you. But it's Him shining on us. Our responsibility, yes. Do all those things. It's the responsibility of other churches to do all those things in their church. I'm telling you, there's some other churches that He hasn't shined on that good, perfect gift from above. Why? Because they've allowed the flesh to get in the way. They've not submitted to Him. Grace Baptist Church has been referenced and has been referenced many times. It has some good pastors, some faithful pastors that have taught the Word of God to you, and the Lord has given you all submissive hearts to submit to the Word. May the Lord be pleased to continue to shine upon us in His grace, in His love, in His mercy. And may we continue to submit to the Word of God. Why all this? Well, the way I like to close those points out, He is the reason. One God and Father of all, who's above all. That's reason for us to be in unity. We're His body, the body of Christ. All right, we'll close there today. Go on with the through you all next time we meet. Shall we stand together, be dismissed in a word of prayer? Brother Harold, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Yeah, it's